you can't be with your family. It's different. It's hard. Birthdays, anniversaries, it's all the same. We can grieve these things. It's okay to cry, to name them, to say this is difficult. And then the next thing I want to talk about actually is this idea of boundaries. Because one of the real causes of anxiety is because we worry about things that we can't control. And I found this analogy really helpful. I think I originally got it from Dr. Henry Cloud in his book Boundaries, but it might have been from another source. I've used this a lot in training I've done. And the idea is that we either write it down or we think about, we put inside the house the things that we can control. And then outside the house, we put things that we can't control. And then we list them, just actually writing them down, listing them. You might find it helpful. I'm a strong Christian. I give the things I can't control to God. I just pray about it, say, God, you take care of this. It's over to you. My friends who don't have a faith say they give it to fate. Other people write it down in a diary. You say, here, I'm giving this up. I can't control it. And then focus on the things that they can control. And so what we're going to actually do now is actually try a little bit of an exercise on this, and I'm going to hope that this works. Except I've lost my sharing button, Mark. You might need to help me on this one. Is to actually write down on here some of the things that, here we go, I've got it. We can, what are things that are outside of our control? I'm going to write some of them down. Here's someone here saying they're fed up being inside. I get that. Someone else whose parents are far away and dad in long-term care. So what can't we control at this point? You can either, actually you can get the annotation up yourself and write, or you can put them on the chat feature. Yeah, someone's great one. You can't control the virus. That is absolutely true. We have no control whatsoever over the virus. We can't control how long it will go on for. This is where you can see how good my typing is. I can't control when I'll see my family again. You can't either. You know, when we will see our family. I know it's going to be a long time before international flights are open. Going back to work, yeah. That's out of our control. What else is out of our control? Seeing people face to face, yeah. The health system and how it works for us, yeah, we can't control that. Yeah, we can't control when we can go to restaurants. Decisions made by politicians, no. Sometimes we may agree with them, sometimes we may not. Oh dear, I can't actually type by politicians. Oh dear, having a bad day typing. You can't control my typing. I hope that I've missed anything here. So if we can't control these things, what can we control? Let's try and put some things inside the house that we can control. You know, I can't control when I'm going to see my family face to face, our friends face to face, but yeah, someone's put here our time to some extent. We can also control, you know, if we video conference or video or speaking phone calls with our friends, take them the time to do that. Yeah, we can control how long we cry for. Yeah, that's actually a good one. What else can we control? We can't control it goes on, how long it goes on for, but we can control actually, you know, we're going to say catching up on our to-do list, gardening, maintenance, clean the garage. Yeah, we can control what we're doing, and we can control to some extent our attitude. So I'm going to go on to, now to a few of the other slides, really focusing on some things that we can control. But I'd encourage you to do this and to maybe do some specific things, the things that are outside of our control, but what within that we can control. Because when we do that, we're actually taking back control ourselves. Yeah, what we eat, how we exercise, and I'll talk about that in a bit too. Because that will actually help us. If we focus on things we can control, we will be less worried about the things outside of our control. Yeah, we can control getting outside and enjoying the fresh air, what we're watching on TV, not drinking too much, staying healthy, eating well. Perfect. A lot of you have written my talk for me. I'm going to move on from this now so we can go down to some of the things we can control. I need to actually close up. And one thing we can actually control is how much influence we give those things that make us feel sad. And we can try and reduce them. And one of those that I would really recommend that we try and reduce or limit is actually our exposure to the news. And it's good to be informed. It's good to find out what's going on. But I think the temptation can be just to sit and to consume and overconsume. And that can actually really send us into a downward spiral. So limit how much time we're spending watching the news or accessing the news. And also control where we're getting our information from. There's a lot of false information or misleading information out there and rumors, which can again scare us or cause us to be anxious. Let's focus on trusted sources in the media. And for me, something else that I find that I have to limit and stop is when my mind starts going out of control and I start thinking, what if, or questioning, what if? What if my parents get sick? They're in their 70s. What if my sister, who's a doctor on the front lines, gets sick? What if? And I have to just stop that right there, because why would I waste my time and my emotional energy now on things that might never happen? If it does happen, yep, I'll have to deal with it. But right now, when I find myself going in that imaginary spiral, I just stop it and say, no, they're good. Pick up the phone, have a nice conversation. I can control that. So as well as limiting those negative influences, let's focus on things that actually make us smile, make us laugh, make us happy, those positive influences in our lives. What for you makes you laugh? What's a positive thing? I think there's a few ideas that have come up already about enjoying fresh air. It could be comedy. Someone said earlier, choose what you watch on TV. Yeah, why don't we choose to watch comedy, things that are gonna make us laugh, that make us smile. I love reading a great book. Actually, I can sit and I can really lose myself in a great book for hours. So actually choosing to do that brings life for me. In our neighborhood, I love this. There's a group of people, I'm not sure who, but they've actually written a whole lot of jokes in Ziploc bags. And then they've put them on the mailboxes and telegraph poles. So when Mark and I go for a walk in the neighborhood, we make a beeline to go and see those and read the jokes and laugh. If that's not in your neighborhood, maybe you could start it. You know, find some jokes, write them on a piece of paper, put it in a Ziploc bag, put it on there, and bring joy to the neighborhood. Other people around here are painting rocks and putting them on the streets. And again, we focus on trying to find them and read them and laugh. It could be watching TED Talks. That's a great way of just engaging our mind intellectually. And I'll send out a link to the TED Talks in the chat box later, if that'd be interesting. Or doing puzzles. There's an online puzzle group as well, so you can do that with people. Lots of ways to bring joy. Music is another great way. Whatever it is that makes positive for you, think about those things and do them more. Do more positive things this week than you did last week. And then if we want to look after our mental health, we really need to look after our physical health. And the first one of them is eating healthily. Now, if you enjoy baking, this can be harder. I get that. So maybe you should bake some goods and then do some curbside drop-offs or porch-side drop-offs for friends or neighbors, or give them to your caregivers. But actually choosing what we eat, spending the time to actually cook well. I found as we're doing online ordering, I'm deliberately limiting the number of snacks that we're getting, to Mark's displeasure, but just to make sure that we're not tempted to go to the snack drawer and eat, but we'll rather go to the fruit bowl. And then exercise. Exercise always makes us feel better. It actually is a really good thing just to get all those positive feelings going. Depending on where you live and your level of fitness, that could be more difficult. But maybe it's going for a walk every day and trying to find times when it's quieter outside. You know, that's often in the morning or the evening. Or just doing some online stretches. There's lots of online classes at the moment. I've joined a Pilates group. I am not flexible at all. It's online, but it gives me some routine. And it actually makes me exercise 3 times a week as I'm doing that. So just do something that will get you physically engaged. And then sleep, really important. Again, if you're like me, you might actually find that this time you've been more tired than normal. And I've actually been looking into this, and one of the reasons for that is because we're stressed, and stress makes us more tired. But it's also because all of our habits are now new. All of our routines are new and they're different. And we're not acting on autopilot in the same way, which actually means our brains are having to work harder. So we are actually more tired. So let's make sure we get good sleep. Not just more sleep, but deeper sleep. Maybe not using screens before going to bed, which can be harder when we're living in an online world more. For me, I read before going to bed because I know then I sleep better. Actually taking some time to think about how do we sleep better and focusing and making that a priority. And then getting some fresh air is also really important. And again, that can vary on your ability to go outside, but even opening the window or going onto the balcony just to breathe in that fresh air is a good idea. And if you really can't do that, maybe find some virtual ways. There's a virtual tour of the Tulip Gardens in Ottawa that's going to be going live on their website. Something that we can feel that we're outside, and maybe just breathe in deeply as we're enjoying these virtual walks. And then community. Really, it should be physical distancing, not social distancing, that was the slogan. Because we need community. And we might not be able to hold hands as in this group, but we can still connect. And well done everybody here. We've joined online, we've joined on Zoom, and that may have been new to you, but it's a great tool to connect with family and friends. And if you have family and friends who are less familiar with the technology or you want to get more involved, we've also run a Zoom training that's free and it's aimed at seniors as well. So you should really benefit from that. And we'll put the link in the chat as well. So you can go and register for that. But maybe it's just an old fashioned phone call. I really love just picking up the phone and speaking. It's what I do with my family more often than not actually. It's just speaking on the phone. Kind of feels more normal maybe than a video conversation. Or writing a letter. Actually just put pen to paper. Write letters to your grandkids. Write letters to your friends. Our nieces love getting mail from us in Canada. They see the airmail sticker on the envelope and they get more excited because they know it's been on an airplane. But there's something special about getting mail. So try and do that as well. And find people that you can connect with to be really honest about how you're feeling. As I said at the beginning, it's okay to grieve. And it's good to talk about that as well. And maybe even doing some of the normal things like eating together. When I've lived on my own, meal times can be the loneliest. And although it might feel strange to be eating over a video conference, why not try it? Or have like a social time. At Fry High, we also run a weekly coffee morning every Wednesday where seniors just come and we share a cup of coffee and we chat. It's a good time for structure and for community as well. And we would love to have you join us on a Wednesday. I know Jane, I saw Jane, you're here. And Jane's a regular at our coffee mornings as well. And then I want to really encourage us to get a balance between routine and structure and also variety. And we're all different, so how much of one you need will depend on you. But I think we're all finding that now we have a lot more unstructured time than before. And that's not healthy.
We actually karna chahiye as time de vich apne aap nu mentally kive.
Yeah. It is. It's really hard, isn't it? And I think that's the time when we don't know, we don't have any plans, we don't have any routines. People joke that 2020 journals or diaries or calendars, whatever you call them, are a waste of space. I still use mine. In fact, I use it now more than ever to try and get some structure, some routine. Actually planning a walk at the same time every day or something to look forward to, an exercise class that's in the calendar to give us some structure. And then intersperse that with some variety. One of my friends, we were meeting for our book club online and she dressed up for it. She put on, you know, a fascinator and really dressed the nines just to do something different. And I think that can really help us as well. And then actually use whatever space we have to create some variety in our homes. It can be all too easy at these points just to stay in one room, and staring at the same screen or the same wall all the time isn't good. So actually try and structure it so we're moving from room to room to room, creating some flexibility, some variety in what we're looking at. I'm going to introduce now and hand over to Joanne. As Mark said earlier, I'm just going to stop the share. Joanne is the clinical director at Christian Counseling Ottawa, and really would love to give Joanne some time now to talk about some of the other resources that are actually available to us. So Joanne, obviously counseling is normally done face-to-face. How has Christian Counseling Ottawa or CCO adapted to these times?
You know, I was shocked at how well the transition has gone. I myself, was speaking a little bit with Brandon before we began that the unknown, right? I mean, it's scary to all of us. And when I was worried about making that transition, I was worried about people kind of adapting from meeting face-to-face to figuring this out. And yeah, like people have done really well. The sessions are, they're working very well. Even new clients, you know, clients that started in this platform rather than ones that, you know, have been already working together for a long time beforehand. So even new clients, they've adapted, like they've made the connection with a therapist quite well. It's been a real blessing.
That's great. And yeah. There's lots of myths about counseling, Joanne. You know, who should get it, who shouldn't get it, how will you benefit? Can you talk to some of those myths at the moment and maybe...
No. I think I'm glad you asked that. The first thing that came to my mind is giving me a chance to dispel a myth that really is a pet peeve of mine in how therapists get portrayed often on TV shows or in movies. And I'm thinking specifically of the movie Freaky Friday. I don't know if you remember that movie, but... the therapist, the mother and the daughter change bodies, and anyway, so the daughter has to be the therapist for the day. Yeah, do you know what I'm talking about? So the mother says, just say, how do you feel about that? So no matter what everybody's saying, it's like, oh. So it's frustrating that there are some misconceptions about what therapy looks like. They're often kind of clueless, or they're falling asleep, or whatever. But that's not how it is. It is not Dear Abby. People don't tell us what should I do about the situation and we give the answers. In fact, the idea that we are the expert and people are kind of clueless is not at all how we work. You know what? I often say to clients, like, you are the best expert of your experience. And my job is to kind of sit with you and figure out how to uncover some of these strengths of yours and to be able to pull out, if you're having a hard time, with some of the resilience that you have. And being able to see the strength that you have and get that from you. So Yeah, I think the other myth that I wanted to speak about is about the stigma. I think that's changed a lot. I think there used to be a perception that you have to be really weak or crazy if you seek therapy. I think it's become more mainstream. Like, I think more people are comfortable acknowledging that, like, hey, I'm struggling and I'm reaching out for help. In fact, when I first meet with people, I always say, in terms of the limits of confidentiality, I always say, you know, if I happen to bump into you somewhere outside the office, which I guess nowadays wouldn't happen, but I always say, like, I just pretend like I don't know you, and that's to protect your privacy. And so many clients say, oh, that's fine. That's fine. Come say hello to me. And so that's communicating to me that they're not afraid that for people to know that they're seeking therapy. And that, I think, it's really changing. So, mm-hmm. so yeah, it's not just people who are really weak that seek counseling.
Mm-hmm. That's great, Joanne. And there's actually a comment in here about how online counseling can actually really help teens, because it kind of takes down some of the barriers as well of actually going into the office and it makes them more accessible.
Yeah, you know, we kind of like got in this because of the situation, but I think it'll be such a good option in the future when we get through all this and we can actually meet face to face, for people who have a hard time getting out the door, for people who live remotely, because that can be a challenging for a lot of people. We at CCO, we have we're kind of known within the community and outside of the community. So a lot of times there are people that travel like an hour and a half, 2 hours to come to our office. And if they can't always come face to face, it might be an option. So it's nice to be able to bring the services more easily.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I just want to speak from a personal level there on the counseling and therapy being for everybody. I actually went and got counseling a number of years ago at CCO, and it was fantastic. It was really, really helpful for me in that phase. And I would encourage anybody here today, if you just want to explore it, that's definitely something to look into. And on that, Joanne, what would you say most people are actually struggling with at this point?
Well, I think you've identified a lot of it, but for sure, the missing the human connection. You know, there are many people that live alone, and I've heard people say like they haven't like physically touched another person for 2 months. You know, and I think that can be really difficult. And along with that, the loneliness is often a difficult thing. Again, I'm repeating some of the things that you've already said, but like a lot of worries about the future, you know, a lot of what ifs, and that uncertainty can be quite scary. Financial issues, you know, that's on a lot of people's minds, you know, just wondering about, when will things get back to normal? Will the government subsidies help, or will it be enough? Like, there's a lot of worry there. I think some people have already said in the chat too, like just the frustration of being stuck home all the time, like the cabin fever. I don't know if somebody actually used those words, but just that's a tough one. Also, I think there's been a lot of anxiety around just like, you know, being connected to all the media, but hearing conflicting information, and that can be quite stressful because it's like, okay, who's right? And, you know, am I falling too far one side? Am I not taking it seriously enough? Like, it can be very disconcerting to know that there's information that doesn't line up with other information, and it's not a good feeling. So I think those are kind of the main ones that are coming up. I think that's, I don't know if there's any others that people have shared,
I want to ask you, actually, I want to touch on that physical touch, because I think that is really hard. I spent a long time living on my own and being single, and not having physical touch is really hard. And that was pre-COVID. I could always go up to friends and just give them a hug. What are you finding people are doing, or what have you found that would be helpful for people who are on their own, who are missing that?
Well, I think people are incredibly resilient, and so there's no workaround with the physical touch thing, you know. But what I am noticing is that people are making more of an effort to connect with people that they don't normally spend as much of an effort. So you're talking to your parents more, or talking to your kids more, and even if it is like going back to the telephone. You know what I mean? Like, the younger generation, we don't use that as often, and we're going back to that. So I think definitely making those connections, those efforts, And people are doing it. The people are, I have some family members, they get together online and they play board game. Like there's board games that you can play online and you play all together on Zoom. Like it's amazing how many different kind of ways to connect there are out there.
Yep.
And people are using Zoom, you know, people are getting over that scary thing of like, okay, how do I do this? And am I going to be able to connect properly? So I'm definitely seeing, like, so yeah, the physical touch thing, like that's a tough one right now, but people are connecting more through the phone calls, through the video conferencing, through just checking in, like, hey, how are you today? It's really actually quite moving to see how people are just doing that so instinctively.
Joanne, if I just a question, I know some people are hesitant with technology, and my mom is one of them. She says, well, no, I don't need to. I'm not really interested when I think deep down, yes, she is interested, but she's anxious about the technology or afraid of not working or afraid she'll be seen as not working it correctly.
Exactly.
Any thoughts on that for people?
The first thing is just normalizing it. And I normalize it by saying, like, starting with myself, because I also had to learn all of this technology and I have the exact same fears. Like, what if I do this wrong? And, you know, just what if something goes wrong? Because I sometimes think I repel technology. So I normalize that. And I think that helps people to feel like they're not, like, you know, silly for having a struggle with that. But also, I mean, for those, I know certainly my parents wouldn't have had any of, didn't even have a computer or cell phones in their house. So there are people that really you can't do that with. So that's where I go back to the telephone. The thing is, like, everybody's on here has figured out how to do it. So it's, I was talking to Rana before as well. I was like, okay, like, the people who are doing this are the ones that are figuring out a lot of the technology. It's the people that haven't figured it out that it would be really great for them to hear this. But yeah, so a lot of it is just the normalizing the anxiety and like just talking through every single step and just saying, like, it's okay. Like it's okay for there to be some, a learning curve with this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so just a lot of validating, a lot of normalizing.
Yeah.
And going old school with the telephone, you know, is, we used to do that all the time before we, before we had cell phones and video chatting.
Yep. I actually just want to share briefly two ideas as well that I've seen on Facebook in case these are useful for people. One of them is actually just a jar where you write down all the things that you miss. So it could be, I miss hugging my grandkids, put it in there. I miss going for a restaurant, putting it in there. And then when we can do these things, you can actually pull them out and then go and do that. Or you can pull it out and remember how grateful you are to actually do that as well. And the other, which I'm not quite sure how this would work, but I thought it was very cute, was actually getting kids to sort of lie down, or obviously that get their parents to do this with them, where they lie down with their arms stretched out and draw around them and then paint it and then mail it to you, and then you can kind of have like a virtual hug with your grandkid, you know. And I've even seen people put that picture on the mirror, so then they're looking in the mirror with an outline of their grandkids as if they're giving them a hug. And it's not the same. I'm not trying to say it's the same, but it kind of gives you that feeling of being able to hug them.
It's that idea, like, that goes a lot with the attitude, right? So we can easily get into an attitude of like, oh, I can't deal with this, it's awful, and feels so completely out of control. But it's when people just find ways, like, work around, right? Like, just being creative. And so there's so many wonderful ideas. Talk about Facebook, right? There are so many awesome ideas that come out on Facebook that I've used and are awesome. And some ideas today that I'm going to use, like the putting little cute jokes around in the neighborhood. I'm like, I'm going to do that.
Yep. And just a funny story on video communication. My our nieces live in the UK, and particularly the eldest, we were very used to talking online, and then there was one point where we met up in person and she kind of like reached out to touch me as if it was, oh, you're real, I can touch you. It was very, very cute, and I'll treasure that memory actually for the rest of my life. So there will also be some really positive things that come out of this. I want to open it up now to questions, discussion.